CE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. After signing another round of executive orders, President Trump telling reporters he supports Elon Musk's email to employees asking to list their accomplishments in the past 5 days, saying his administration is trying to find out if employees are working. The White House earlier says the request is voluntary, but President Trump disputed that.
Well, it's somewhat voluntary, but it's also, if you don't answer, I guess you get fired. What it really is what it is do people exist?
Republican Senator Leader John Thune today said agency heads confirmed by Congress should have more oversight than Doge and Elon Musk. Ukrainian officials say President Zelensky will travel to the U.S. on Friday and that Ukraine and the U.S. have agreed on a mineral rights deal. Pope Francis, who is battling pneumonia, remains in critical but stable condition, according to the Vatican today, with no new respiratory episodes. And the measles outbreak in West Texas has jumped to 124 cases. New cases this week. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A new study says nitrate levels in drinking water in the Driftless area are decreasing. The study, which was done by the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, Minnesota DNR, and University of Minnesota, checked nitrate levels over the course of the last 40 to 50 years. Nitrate contamination had decreased in older wells and had remained steady or decreased in newer ones. Researchers said clean water practices and record precipitation in the past 20 years has helped improve drinking water conditions. In today's fast-paced world, families with young children often juggle multiple responsibilities, making it easy to overlook the importance of establishing a primary care provider. However, having a dedicated PCP can significantly enhance the health and well-being of both parents and children. According to Amplify Health Gunderson, research shows that families with a primary care provider experience better health outcomes. According to a study by the National Library of Medicine, families with a PCP are 30% more likely to receive preventative care services, such as vaccinations and screenings, which are crucial for early detection of health issues. And establishing a relationship with a PCP can save families an average of $1,200 annually in emergency room visits and urgent care costs. By prioritizing a primary care relationship, young families can ensure their health needs are met promptly, allowing them to focus on what truly matters, spending quality time together. 4K registration at the Riverdale Elementary School will be held March 4th. Students who will be 4 before September 1st or 3 with development concerns should contact Sarah Williamson at 608-739-3101 by February 28th. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers at home tonight against the Washington Huskies. Wisconsin now ranked 12th in the AP Top 25. The Bucks are in Houston taking on the Rockets. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst and his staff here in Indianapolis for the NFL Scouting Combine. Over 300 top college players working out for teams getting ready for the draft in April. The Brewers in Arizona, where pitcher Abner Uribe, who once threw a pitch over 103 miles an hour, believed to be the best in franchise history, has not only been working on his fastball, but his English as well.
How did you study?
I studied like with the teacher, but then I felt sitting, I can't feel asleep because I'm not that guy to be in city all day taking class, you know.
Uribe, who's from the Dominican Republic, says he wants to be able to speak with the fans, especially the kids.
If I don't speak English, I don't have like something to say to the kid, you know what I mean? So I have to speak in English.
That's Brewers pitcher Abner Uribe with sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky, some rain showers tonight, and lows in the mid-30s. Any rain wraps up early tomorrow, mostly cloudy and mild, highs to the upper 40s. In the mid-40s and partly sunny Thursday. We jump well up into the 50s on Friday and breezy. It's 52 right now.
reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. T. Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dr. Kristen Lierley, who talks health and the Oscars. And mob expert Bob Dennis joins me in the studio to talk the mafia and urban legends. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with P. Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for tuning in and listening. You could be a big part, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Got lots to get to this hour, but I know we have some kind of lingering conversation with regards to choice slash voucher slash charter, call it what you want, schools here in the state of Wisconsin. $500 million going towards that effort. We do have an election coming up April 1st for a new DPI secretary, right? Dr. Jill Underley right now is the superintendent. She'll be on the ballot against the person who makes money consulting to the voucher schools.
Indeed.
Now there's money in government money. Weird how that works out.
So strange.
855-752-4842. Mark, I see you there, but I do want to throw this one out there because I don't know. It's just like the radio gods just put this one in my lap. Because this was not a topic. I got a whole page of notes here, man.
No, we put together a full show. Dom comes rolling in and goes, hey, I heard Maggie talking about vouchers. Maybe we should hit on that.
It just I get going on it, man. It's a trigger point for me, obviously.
Just a little bit.
A little bit on this, and we'll take your calls. And I promise we'll move on. We got Doge updates. We got who was funding? Brad Schimmel's election efforts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're
who is Susan Crawford, really?
Oh, who is she? Well, is Susan M or Susan P. Crawford? Who knows? A little baseball on that, but we'll just say the Cubs. So we'll put that one on the back burner as well. Some of the court cases going against Donald Trump and Doge. And more as well. We'll get to it all. We promise. 855-752-4842. But to put a bow on the education conversation.
For now,
for this very moment. From the Raw Story, Republican state senator in Oklahoma fruitlessly raged as his colleagues passed a bill to outlaw corporal punishment of disabled students in schools.
Huh? Can you read that again for me?
A Republican raged as his colleagues passed a bill to outlaw corporal punishment of disabled students in schools. Yeah, that's true. That's what it says.
Raged because his colleagues passed a bill outlawing, making it illegal to corporally punish, to beat. Disabled students.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, right.
All right.
There's more to it.
Oh, goody.
But wait, there's more.
Okay.
SB 364, introduced earlier this month by fellow Republican Senator David Rader, revives a long controversial issue that it has been frequently debated in the state legislature. As the bill was debated, Senator Shane Jett, one of the most outspoken opponents of the bill, told Rader that here's his grievance. The Bible sanctions corporal punishment and demanded to know how his legislation conforms with Scripture. The Bible sanctions corporal punishment and demanded to know how his legislation conforms with Scripture. I mean, doesn't the Bible sanction all sorts of things that probably are, I think, are illegal? Like if God tells you to...
There is actually a commandment in Torah that says that not only can you, but you must stone a rebellious child.
Must stone. So yeah. Hit them with rocks until they die.
That's right.
Now, can you use the sing rock, rig lock over and over, or do you have to, like, throw it? You got
I'm not sure.
See, I think there's a legit, like, there's a rule to stoning. You got to dig a hole, you got to put them in it, and you got to, like, throw stuff at them. I'm not up on my stoning. I mean, these days it means something different
it means
for
something
me.
Very different.
It's like I'm going to Illinois or Detroit or something. But no, this is literally Republican Senator Saint Shane Jett. Hey, man, the Bible sanctions corporal punishment. How does this legislation conform with Scripture? Rader replied by quoting the Bible himself, leading to a lengthy religious argument on the floor of the Senate, according to the Oklahoma political observer Tyler Talley. Not all discipline needs to be one way, Rader said. Special needs students need special discipline. This says it won't be physical. But Jett, again, this is the righty, hard righty, who has repeatedly made the argument in the past, whenever the subject has come up for debate, wasn't convinced. He continued to call the bill a violation of Scripture, accused it of singling out schools that allowed parental consent for corporal punishment, and contained the measure and complained the measure was socialist.
Socialist!
If you can't...
Fellas, is it socialist to not subscribe to physical abuse?
Apparently it is. God wants physical abuse, according to this
guy,
God
also Jeff. Doesn't want you to mix your fabrics.
Linens and wools. And don't even get me going on the shrimp. Mm-mm. Enjoy the shrimp cocktail.
tasty little sea bugs.
Tasty bugs. Let's see what else here. A little bit more. In the end, Jett's opposition was pushed aside and the bill passed. The bill outlawing corporal punishment of special needs children passed 31-16. He's 16? Damn! Jett has previously attracted attention for other peculiar policy positions. He endorsed far-right state superintendent Ryan Walter's plan to put Trump-endorsed God Bless USA Bibles in the classroom and introduced legislation this year that would deregulate the production and sale of donkey milk without clarifying why he considered this necessary. Donkey milk? What? What? Oklahoma, yo, what's happening down there?
Y'all okay?
So, I mean, but, okay, so here's, and this is what, a religious argument on the debate on what's in Scripture and what that means. And it, to my position, it could mean whatever the hell you want it to mean because it's all about interpretation, right? You two people can read the same freaking thing and come out with their own religious belief to justify whatever act they want to take.
You know what, Dom? I taught my seventh graders that this past Sunday.
You should go to Oklahoma. I don't know. You might get stoned talking down there.
Especially as a little lady.
That's right, you ladies. Uh-huh. You should smile more, Jess. So that's the education update here in this country. What? Come on. The Bible says you can do it. Why are we not doing it? That's the justification.
That's the justification.
And this is why we don't want religion in the classroom.
Or as a counter, let's have lots and lots and lots of religion in the classroom taught in an academic manner. And the fact that there is great diversity of belief and experience in this world, and that is fantastic. There are many different ways that people have found of making just the tiniest bit of sense in a crazy, crazy world. And let's not teach it in the form of this is how you become a practitioner. And we want you to become a practitioner of this very specific tradition.
And if you don't, the eternal hellfire and damnation for you.
Right.
Now go have your milk and sleep on your little mat for nap time. Come on, man. Listen, and I appreciate that from a cultural perspective. Sure, I get that. But my problem with that is what's the limiting factor? You know, because can it be taught as mythology? I mean, I remember taking, like, those kinds of classes.
I don't have a problem with that at all.
Right. So if you're going to lump it all in with that kind of thing. And
as world beliefs.
As world beliefs, certainly. And yeah. And those are, you know, culturally, people can and should be a well-rounded individual should at least know that those things are out there. I'm okay with that. Again, it depends on the context. If you're talking about world culture, you're talking about history, those kinds of things, sure. If you're talking about a matter, a practice of belief, a belief structure that they are going to try to get you to conform to, then that's certainly a different ask.
Yes.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. There will be no corporal punishment on this show unless you ask nicely. 855-75-CIVIC. Real quick, before we get to the callers, this reminded me of a time when I was young. And it wasn't for me specifically, although I had, I was always kind of a sass, and that'll happen. But, you know, and I kind of got away with a lot of it, so, it didn't discourage the behavior. But I was the youngest of three, and I recall as a child, so I was 5 years behind my sister, who was the first, obviously, to go attend the private school at Xavier. And at that time, there were nuns, there were brothers, there were, obviously priests, and they literally had like a dean of discipline. This was a role that somebody had. This is the one, keeping all the kids in line. Well, apparently at one point, and, again, I was a child, and this is a long time ago, and I'm going off of memory here. My sister, who was also a little like me as well, my brother, I don't know where he came from, but my sister and I were the hellraisers. My brother, much, much less so, although he did it in his own way. She got into trouble when she was at school, and the dean of discipline smacked her across the face.
Oh, damn.
Oh, yeah. Dad got wind. Did not like that. He we're 50 miles away from school. He was there in like 6 minutes.
Yeah.
And apparently there were conversations and apologies, and that never happened again. And I've always had the attitude, my kids can be, if they're sass, that's fine. Discipline them, put them in the corner, give them the timeout, that kind of thing. Don't ever lay hands on my kid. Ever. Don't lay hands on anybody. Don't lay hands on me. Don't lay hands. Mm-hmm. That's not okay. Mm-hmm. I don't give a damn what the circumstances is, what they said, what they do. If for some reason my child attacked you and you defend yourself, I can understand that perhaps. I mean, we all got the right to defend ourselves. But as a matter of discipline in an academic setting, to think that in some way, shape, or form that hitting my kid would ever be okay, that's just not the world that I live in. And there would be some serious repercussions, as I'm sure there were. And to my understanding, nothing got physical when my father took exception to my sister getting literally slapped across the face at school.
Now, your sister, after that, did she develop any sort of deep affection for that school? Did she, come around and go, hey, you know what? This really is the path for me. This is what I want.
I, to some degree, absolutely. I think she did. I think she enjoyed the experience. I enjoyed the experience. Okay. And by the time I got there, that position was eliminated. There was no longer a dean of discipline. And most of the brothers were on there. Just a few nuns left. It was a little bit more, teacher and academic-y versus religion. Although, obviously, there were religion classes. So that did not, to my interpretation and understanding, really impact how she viewed the rest of her school career, let's call it. But that was not acceptable, and she certainly didn't appreciate that, and my family certainly didn't appreciate that. And so when you folks down in Oklahoma think that that's okay, and that you think not only is corporal punishment okay, but corporal punishment with special needs children is okay, wow. Maybe you should read that Bible you have. 855-752-4842. I thought there was something about love and forgiveness in there.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In the coming weeks, Virginia GOP Governor Glenn Youngkin considers multiple pro-voter bills sent to his desk by a Democratic majority legislature.
A state constitutional amendment also moves to the November ballot, which restores voting rights to returning citizens after felony convictions. Almost a dozen pro-voter bills have advanced in January and February, most recently protecting voters from premature purges. Last August, Youngkin ordered voter registration purges within 90 days of the election, upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court just 2 weeks before the election. In response, the Virginia legislature passed House bills prohibiting the purging of a voter using unverified external data as justification and establishing specific criteria for removal. SB 813 specifically prohibits voter list purges within 90 days of the election. After blocking GOP attempts to shorten early voting in primaries, the legislature passed SB 760, extending deadlines for returning mail-in ballots to 3 days after Election Day and allowing curing of deficient ballots. In 2023, Governor Youngkin reversed policies of recent governors and restores voting rights to citizens who've completed felony sentences only on a case-by-case basis. House Resolution 2 would automatically restore those rights and will appear on the November 2025 ballot. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, LoveLost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo-matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite. Because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-SIVA. We're going to get to the lines, texters, and YouTubers. You guys are going nuts out there, man. Appreciate the passion. Let's put it that way.
Certainly,
appreciate the
certainly.
Passion.
We love the engagement.
Lee, he points out he's from the Grove. Dom, we grew up in the same time, but I went to Appleton Public School, and I remember my second grade teacher handcuffing my quote unquote out of control classmate to his desk. I don't think that's okay. Is that
no,
okay?
That's not okay, not.
Right? You can't do that, right? Can't do that?
No.
Okay. I just want to make sure that's not okay. We're not going to do that.
We're not going to do that.
You know, what about, you know, the ruler across the hand, right?
No.
If you write with your left hand, right? Oh, you can't do that. Swack with the ruler.
There is not a shred of evidence that beating someone will lead to genuine improved behavior.
You know the old saying, Jess, the beatings won't stop until morale improves. It's the all-time motivation. Well, and think about this for a minute. This world with this, again, this kind of goes back to what is the point, right?
Sure.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah.
What is liberty if you can be assaulted at will? Because some ancient book says it's okay to do so, or because perhaps a teacher thinks it's okay to do so, or a cop thinks it's okay to do so. You know what I'm saying? Those are the things that go against your liberty.
Right. If you're into being smacked around a little bit, that's fine. Ask someone to do it.
Sure, right. I mean, consenting adults.
Consent.
Knock yourself out.
Have fun.
Go after it, man. Be your best you.
But with a child?
With a child. Yeah, beat the children. Beat the children, and special needs children, because, you know, special needs children need special needs discipline, which apparently this guy wants it to be corporal punishment. You think special needs child's going to, hell, even a normal child, a non-special needs child is going to comprehend that, hey, you did something, so now you're going to get beat? What's the lesson there? We're going to teach
the
lessons.
The lesson there is if you don't do what someone wants, you will be hurt. You will be physically assaulted.
And therefore, why, if that's the case, then if someone doesn't do what I want,
then
I should do the same. I can assault them.
Right. That is the lesson.
That's the lesson. And that's what we're getting away from. Listen, the history of the world, right, is written by the wealthy and the powerful and the oppression of the minorities, and the minorities being whatever it means. And you talk, you know, as the atheists, we talk about religion sometimes on the show. The majority religion often subjugates the minority religion.
Indeed.
Happens all the time, even historically speaking, happens now. So when you're the minority in that, and it doesn't matter if you're a belief, if you're minority belief, you think the majority belief gives a damn? They don't, not historically speaking. They certainly don't. If you're an atheist, if you're one like me, man, not so long ago, you'd be murdered. The church would kill you. Literally.
Well, you're a filthy heathen.
Wow, thank you very much. I took a shower today. I'm not totally filthy. I do get a little sweaty and, you know, my forehead greases up a bit when I get excited on this show. Yeah. Filthy heathen. And what? Does not negate my right to exist on this earth. I didn't ask to be here. I don't know where I'm going when I'm dead. So,
in the ground.
In the ground. As far as that, I'm going to go right back where I came from. I don't know, but I do know at 53 years old and got a few miles on me that nobody else has a better beat on it than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly for me. No, don't tell me you know for me. You don't know for yourself. Because I've been around. I read the books. I know. I got the miles. You got some insight? Don't give me that. And don't bring that trash to the classroom. Don't bring that trash to government. That's not how it's supposed to be. You got your faith, you got your belief, knock yourself out. How much of that faith and belief goes against the pursuit of life, the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? If you have a belief in that, well, then how can you call yourself patriotic American?
Mm.
Kind of goes against that, doesn't it? 855-752-4842. Let's get some of the callers. Annie from Watertown, you are up. Welcome, Annie. What do you got for us?
Geez, we're getting a little bit of an insight into what Jeff likes to do, huh?
Hey, no judging.
No
Annie.
Judgment here.
No judgment. This is a safe place.
Yeah. This whole thing is a bit traumatic when I think of what I put my son through by thinking I was doing a good thing by sending him to a community Lutheran school, which ended up, I mean, like, he was bullied to begin with. I mean, not an easy child, but I mean, they did him know. And it's like, well, that's what all the kids do to each other. When I approached about bullying, I was like, okay. But right. I like to make the comparison of, I guess, Democrats think people are smarter than they are. And maybe Jesus thought we were smarter than we are. A lot of stuff in the Bible expects us to be smarter than we are. Like the eye of the needle is not a sewing needle. And also, sheep, you didn't mention, I don't know if he mentioned where the Bible says he can beat your kids, but if he's using the rod.
Yes, spare the rod, spoil the child, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were shepherds. They didn't use the rod to beat the sheep. They used the rod to guide them.
Guiding. Well, guide him to do what we tell him to do, Annie. Otherwise, he'd get an ass beating. Thank you.
That is exactly the point she wasn't making,
okay,
Dom.
Okay. To guide them, not to beat them, not to do that.
Right.
There's a representative from the great state of Wisconsin. His name is Shay Sortwell. He is up in the Green Bay area. And I remember this cat because when we were down, you know, protesting during COVID, putting up the Christmas tree right next to the Republicans, they came over and stole our garland and we all got in trouble, got a ticket mailed to us. And anyway, I got in a little conversation with him. Hey, you guys are down here doing COVID, singing your songs. And what do you, I give him a dose. Like, what'd you do last week?
You know what I mean? Give me 5 bullet points.
And it came out in the news that he had apparently disciplined his children and had a similar got in the news. And some charges were apparently never dropped or whatever the case. But there was a news situation with that. And that was the spare the rod, spoil the child defense, if I recall correctly. But you can Google it. Come back with us. Also, folks, end of the day, tell us something good. 855-752-4842.
News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Flooding is one of the most common and devastating natural disasters with the potential to affect people, families, and communities across Wisconsin. Ready Wisconsin is urging everyone to take steps to understand the risk flooding can bring. To encourage everyone in the state to be prepared, Governor Tony Evers has declared this week as Flood Safety Awareness Week in Wisconsin. Home and property owners can assess the potential for flooding on their property if they live in a floodplain, near a body of water, or have a basement. The Federal Emergency Management Agency has a flood map service center to find official flood maps and access other tools to understand flood risk. While you can't always stop waters from rising, the following tips can reduce the devastating effects of flooding. Stay informed. Be aware of weather forecast information, whether it's heavy rain or warm-up that causes snow melt. Have more than one way to receive weather warnings. Enable wireless emergency alerts on your cell phones to be alerted of imminent threats in your area. Create an emergency plan so you and your loved ones know what to do and where to go in case there is a flood. Consider flood insurance. Most homeowner rental and business insurance policies generally do not cover flooding. Find more information about flood insurance options at floodsmart.gov. Keep water out of and away from your house. Clean gutters regularly, direct downspouts away from your foundation, repair cracks in your foundation, improve grading so water flows away from your house and cover window wells, and move valuables out of the basement. Elevate or floodproof your washer, dryer, water heater, and HVAC systems, and relocate electrical outlets to 3 feet above the floor. During and after a flood, never drive or walk through flooded areas. Turn around, don't drown. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Even bad reviews, word of mouth, and almost a 70% drop-off from its first weekend of release couldn't knock Captain America: Brave New World from number one at the box office. The film took in a little over $28 million at theaters this past weekend to remain atop the feature film leaderboard here in the U.S. The most recent Marvel film has now brought in $141 million domestically after a $100 million-plus opening last weekend. Big drop-offs for Marvel films are becoming a bit of a concern for Disney Studios. Ant-Man and Wasp, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and Thor: Love and Thunder also saw big drop-offs from weeks 1 to 2. In the number 2 slot this past weekend was The Monkey, a gory thriller which pulled in a little over $14 million in its debut weekend. Another win for Neon Studios, which released the surprise hit Long Legs last year. Rounding out the top 5 were Paddington in Peru, which finished in 3rd place, Dogman was in 4th, and Heart Eyes finished in 5th place. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky, some rain showers tonight, and lows in the mid-30s. Any rain wraps up early tomorrow, mostly cloudy and mild, highs to the upper 40s. In the mid-40s and partly sunny Thursday. We jump well up into the 50s on Friday and breezy. It's 52 right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Our old friend Trigvi Olsen from the Lincoln Project is here, along with State Senator Sarah Kayeski, talking about a right to repair bill. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. I swear to God.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-757. I was bouncing all around here, and I got lots of topics to get to, I swear. But I want to just throw this out, this corporal punishment issue. We talked about these state legislators in Oklahoma, really mad.
So mad
that they outlawed corporal punishment on special needs children.
My God, what are we going to do?
and so in his defense, now it passed 30-something to like 12. I mean, so some folks are down for it.
Who are the 11 others? Right. We're like, no, you know what? We need to keep this law around. We got to be able to beat these kids.
Yes, beat them into submission. The beatings won't stop until morale improves. I brought up Wisconsin State Rep Shea Sortwell. He is currently in the Wisconsin legislature. He's from the 2nd Assembly District. And I remember this cat because we kind of jawboned at each other a little bit when COVID was on and they closed the Capitol down and they invited a bunch of maskless Republicans, invited a bunch of people to come sing their Christmas carols at the Capitol. Mm-hmm. And so we brought a tree in and kind of busted chops a little bit because why not?
Why not?
And Shea was there and I was, you know, inquiring as to what exactly he's getting done for those Wisconsin citizens. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, his remark to me was, this is for the Wisconsin my constituents, because he was going to be singing songs. But to that point, and we talked about corporal punishment, and I found my resource, my article here from the Green Bay Press Gazette. And we'll move on the topics, but I want to throw this out there. So you know, this isn't coming out of my mouth. Wisconsin legislator Shea Sortwell was referred for felony child abuse in 2013 before elected, but was never charged. Lawmaker said he used an object to punish his child as the Bible instructed. He now sits on the Assembly's Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee. Let's see here.
Not a great look.
Police investigation took place in January of 2013 before Sortwell was elected to the Assembly, but he was then active in state and national politics, served on the Green Bay City Council. Police were made aware of the alleged abuse after a relative discovered 5 bruises while giving the child a bath. The relative took the child to a hospital in Two Rivers, according to a 35 pages of documents obtained by the Press Gazette through an open records request with the Green Bay Police Department. Sortwell told police the Bible was, quote, very specific about corporal punishment and loosely quoted a verse from Proverbs, whoever spares the rod hates their child, according to the police reports. Now, of course, now a member of the Assembly's Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee told police he and his wife disciplined the child with an object rather than their hands, because hands are for loving. And he said if they were not using corporal punishment, they were not loving their child because they're not teaching what needs to be taught, the police report said.
Physical abuse needs to be taught?
Oh, it gets better. Oh. Sortwell explained to investigators that he or his wife typically struck the child twice whenever the child was being defiant, then would hug the child and sometimes give the child a Rice Krispies treat. After striking their child, neither parent made the practice of checking for injuries, the police report said. Think about that for a minute.
Didn't make a practice of checking for injury.
Yeah. Sortwell estimated the most recent time he struck the child was 3 days before the child was brought to the hospital with still visible marks, according to the
police
report.
3 days.
3 days.
And we still have bruises. We have bruises.
3 days later. After a 4-day investigation involving 4 police officers, 2 social workers, a child forensics officer, a trained agent to interview child victims of physical and sexual abuse, a child advocacy member, and a nurse practitioner, police recommended a felony child abuse charge against Sortwell and a felony charge of failure to act to prevent bodily harm against his wife. Both charges carry a maximum penalty of 6 years in prison. Now, the deputy DA, Dana Johnson, wrote in a September 15 letter to the Green Bay Police Department that he was unable to prove Sortwell's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, and then he had to take into consideration, quote, the defense of parent using reasonable force to discipline the child. Johnson also declined to charge Sortwell's wife. Now, they avoided criminal prosecution while the Brown County Prosecutor's Office was filing child abuse charges against other defendants in similar cases around the same time, with all of those cases leading to convictions. So put that one in the show notes. Statement from Sortwell released by the police department blames the incident on a disgruntled family member. yeah, maybe people don't like it when you're beating the kid, you know, 3 days later still has marks on their body. And the discipline, hitting twice with an object and then giving a hug and then maybe a Rice Krispie treat. Yeah. Public safety elected in the Wisconsin state capitol right now. Yeah, the best of the best of the best. But, you know, the Bible. So, you know, it's totally fine. 855-752-4842. Mark from the SAC, you are up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
You just blew me out of the way with that one right there. I mean, it just,
oh, you didn't know that one? Yeah, man. This guy's a hoot.
Maybe I forgot. Maybe I heard about it and just kind of put it in my memory hole, but it just horrific.
Yeah.
I mean, that he gets away with it because he had connections and other people, you know, actually got convictions for that kind of thing. Getting back to the education thing, part of it, it makes me think of this whole thing for, you know, for the segregation of schools and all that. Links back to the whole, and the antebellum South was actually illegal to teach slaves and, you know, black people to read.
Yep.
And, you know, the whole separate, be equal. The schools were never equal. The schools still are not equal. I mean, we have the money, resources available to make all our schools a hell of a lot better, and we should be doing that rather than funneling money off to the religious schools, which some of our founders would have vetoed that kind of legislation. I mean, James Madison repeatedly vetoed bills when they were talking about, you know, providing funding for religious institutions.
Yeah.
I mean, I posted some of his veto messages on that why he said it shouldn't be happening because he said it was a violation of the establishment clause.
Mark, and thanks for the call, man. Appreciate your input always. You know, some of these things seemed like, oh, that's just how it is. It's set in stone. And then all of a sudden, a judge or a Supreme Court, someone comes in and rolls that thing over and appends what we would consider to be quote-unquote normal. And I think, you know, how do we interpret? What's our baseline? What is the baseline? Again, it's got to go back to our founding documents. What is the point of our existence? I mean, we all come from different places, and I don't care what you say. None of us has to be here, and I don't care what you say. None of y'all know where you're going when you close your eyes and take that last breath. None of you. I know you got. That's why they call it faith. You're hoping. Mm-hmm. You're hoping beyond hope that it's paradise awaits. I know you're thinking that, but you don't know. That's why they call it faith. That's not knowledge. It's faith. And that's okay. But what are our least common factors that bind us together? Well, it is certainly our existence on this rock hurling through space, right? Here we are all together. Whether we like it or not, here we are. And then what do we respect for individuals? Do we have that sense of liberty, right? Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. How who's against that? Who's against a person's right to live, to exist? Is anybody? Who's against a person having their liberty, exercising their liberty, their freedoms? Who is against that? Who is against the pursuit of happiness? Oh, my God. What kind of sadist are you? Who's against pursuing happiness? These are our base, most common factor, or least common factors that unite us all. We all bleed red, you know. We all breathe oxygen. We're all born. We're all gonna die. So how do we make this thing work? And in recent times, yes, historically recent times, given the time of humankind on this earth, we've decided, hey, this is what's important to us. This is what we reject: an absolute monarchy. We reject an absolute religion.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we do. We reject those things.
And it really is a very radically new idea.
It is. It absolutely is. I mean, the authoritarian, the biggest sword, the biggest gun, the biggest person, you know, whatever the case was, you know, I mean, what was the Colt 45 was a great equalizer. You know, little guys like me all of a sudden can defend yourself. This is our least common factor. And I think when we talk about these very difficult situations politically, worldwide, all these things, I think it goes, put yourself in the position of how does this impact life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? I mean, where else do we go if not to that? Because everyone's got different faith. Everyone's got different ideas. But do you, when you are out there and you're espousing your mega-ism? Are you reflecting life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Or are you trying to subjugate people to your ideas? I'm an atheist. I don't buy any of that stuff. But you know what I'm not doing? I'm not making you believe that. That's up to you. I'm not gay. I'm not black. I'm not trans. But everyone has that right to exist, to do them for their life and their liberty and their pursuit of happiness. Doesn't have to conform to whatever you were brought up in. Expand your mind, man. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If you are not pursuing those goals, if your politics, if your belief structure, if your culture does not embrace life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, I question, then what is your motivation? What are you doing? To what point? To what end? To make people believe how you want to believe? To force that upon people? To subjugate people to your will? Well, that goes against everything that we have been trying to do in relatively recent history on this earth as we hurl through space. And the good news is I saw a headline that asteroid that had a 3% chance that apparently it's not gonna happen now.
A little bit of disappointment, I have to say. Just the tiniest bit.
I thought maybe it's our way out, baby. Finally. 855-752-4842. Put it in that context. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And I know you Megas, I know you Republicans. I know you got to believe that. You got to believe that. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. How do you not? Then go from there. The freedom of religion, freedom from religion, you know, pick your term. You got a right to it. Knock yourself out. But you don't have the right to force it on us. You don't have the right to take taxpayer dollars out of the till for your indoctrination. You want to do that? Pay for it on your own.
Right.
Like everybody else did until this little concept came up, until the blacks and the whites had to start going to school together. Come on. 855-752-4842. Wisco Paul, you are up. Welcome, Paulie. What do you got for us today?
Hey, how you doing, Dom? Hey,
awesome, man.
I went to parochial school, and I had one teacher, you better sit up straight in class, and yeah. There was a paddle up there. And
the paddle.
I'll tell you this. Nobody messed around in his class. That was a parochial school, and it didn't help me any.
No, man. No doubt.
Hey, one quick thing. If the Republicans mess with Medicaid, I know a little bit about it because they drive people around. They'll be the last thing they'll do because even in gerrymandering districts, they're going to lose. And I got two good things about Trump that I like about Trump today very quickly. One, he wants to get rid of the penny. I hate the penny, Dom. I hate it.
Oh, so man, a penny for your thoughts, man. What's wrong with the penny?
Gone, man. I hate him. That's why I use charge card. And the other thing is he wants to do away with turning the clock back. That's another thing. So
I'm good with both
of
those.
Two good things I like.
All right.
I'll go with those two things. That's it. There's
all right,
Paulie.
Yeah, we can. I'm down with the stopping of the time change thing. I mean, I'm
stupid.
That's so dumb. The penny thing, I'm not convinced yet. I'm not sure what the economic.
It costs like 3 cents to make one penny.
But now how much does it take to make a nickel?
Less. It's less. It's because of the copper.
Oh, see, copper. Folks, this is a Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-757. We're going to come back. Tell us something good. We love something good. We got a little toast from Harvey K to Thomas Paine.
And we're going to get to it this time.
We swear we're going to start with that. And the corporal punishment, Paulie, didn't work for me either. You know, my parents tried. That didn't work, so why even bother? 855-75-CIVIC. Come back with us. Something good coming up next.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
The 2025 Wisconsin football schedule is here, and you should be too. Season tickets are on sale now, so don't miss your chance to jump around at Camp Randall Stadium this fall. Last year, 6 of 7 home games were sellouts, proof that there's nothing like game day with the Badgers. Secure your spot for marquee matchups against Ohio State, Washington, and Iowa, and enjoy the best value to see Wisconsin football in action. For more information and to get your season tickets, visit ewbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In the coming weeks, Virginia GOP Governor Glenn Youngkin considers multiple pro-voter bills sent to his desk by a Democratic majority legislature. A state constitutional amendment also moves to the November ballot, which restores voting rights to returning citizens after felony convictions. Almost a dozen pro-voter bills have advanced in January and February, most recently protecting voters from premature purges. Last August, Youngkin ordered voter registration purges within 90 days of the election, upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court just 2 weeks before the election. In response, the Virginia legislature passed House bills prohibiting the purging of a voter using unverified external data as justification and establishing specific criteria for removal. SB 813 specifically prohibits voter list purges within 90 days of the election. After blocking GOP attempts to shorten early voting in primaries, the legislature passed SB 760, extending deadlines for returning mail-in ballots to 3 days after Election Day and allowing curing of deficient ballots. In 2023, Governor Youngkin reversed policies of recent governors and restores voting rights to citizens who've completed felony sentences only on a case-by-case basis. House Resolution 2 would automatically restore those rights and will appear on the November 2025 ballot. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
We all running in the same race. Ain't nobody winning. We only here for a minute, yeah. So everybody slow down.
Your life is beautiful. Let's all take a moment now. Let's just try to breathe it in.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Life is beautiful, especially when you join us and tell us something good to wrap the day up. 855-752-4842, 855-757. Got Just PS on the board. You folks are on the lines and on the Twitter line, 855-752-4842. Let's see, we got a couple here that Just pointed out. Thank you. Just, Troy from Mount Horeb said, enough with the religion bashing. I'm going to music. See you tomorrow. And then Jennifer followed up directly after that. Hi, Dom and Jess. Something good? Dom's spirited discussion of organized religion. It was cathartic to just listen to.
Proof right there that it's okay to have different opinions and experiences and views about the world.
Of course, of course.
And we welcome y'all.
We do welcome y'all. And those of faith as well. Listen, Troy, I think your religious privilege might be shining through. I've said it over and over again. It's up to you. Knock yourself out. You have your right. I got my right. You know, a couple of things I don't want. I don't want anybody, no matter what religion it is, to be trying to force that upon me or my children. I certainly don't want us using our tax dollars in doing so. Now, that being said, you have the right to worship whatever the hell you want. That's the whole point. That's part of that life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness part, man.
Yeah. I mean that's okay. I'm a religious woman.
You are, I know, and I'm
not. Not only that, I teach religion.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, but it's not in a public setting.
Oh, you're not getting paid by the DPI to
No, I'm not. No. I'm really okay. Not. Yeah. No, mm-hmm. No. Parents actually choose to yes. send their children to get
them.
Some supplemental education in the Jewish faith and practices and traditions. And so that's what we do.
And that's what you do.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And I encourage that. If that's what you're into, do it. Knock yourself out, Troy, Jess, whatever. But here's the thing. Just don't use our tax dollars to do it. See
right.
what I'm saying? And oh yeah. And don't use that to justify, like, you know, beating people.
Right.
Just right. saying. All right. Harvey K., our pal Harvey K., you know he loves himself some Thomas Paine. While he was down in Florida, he'll be back next week. He's filling in. He's joining Jess here while I'm going to be in Florida. We're going to miss Harvey by one day. He's down at the Florida Veterans for Common Sense, Tom Paine's 288th birthday party. And Harvey gave the toast, and he has shared that with us, and we want to share it with you because we love us some Harvey, and we love us some Tom Payne. So let's hear it, Jess.
I'm down here in Sarasota, Florida. In fact, I've been down here for quite a few days, fortunately escaping the worst of the weather in Wisconsin. I'm here to deliver the toast tonight at the Thomas Paine Party, sponsored every year by Florida Veterans for Common Sense, a progressive veterans group originally made up of World War II veterans all the way through to Iraq, Afghanistan veterans, mostly led, was originally founded, in fact, by Vietnam-era veterans. So tonight is the big night, and they expect usually a good crowd of 100 to 150 people, so it'll be all the more exciting. Here's my toast for those of you who obviously are not down here and able to hear it directly. In December 1776, during the darkest days of the Revolution, Thomas Paine wrote the first of his American crisis papers. Following devastating defeats by British forces in Brooklyn and Manhattan, George Washington and the Continental Army were retreating across New Jersey to the Delaware River and Pennsylvania. Paine rode with them, determined to continue the fight and defiantly reaffirming his disgust for Great Britain's King George III. This is what he wrote. "Let them call me rebel. I feel no concern from it, but I should suffer the misery of devils were I to make a whore of my soul by swearing allegiance to one whose character is that of a sottish, stupid, stubborn, worthless, brutish man. The greatest writer of the Revolution knew how to call out the enemy." Only 11 months earlier, Paine had published Common Sense, a pamphlet of just 50 pages that would turn the world upside down, calling on Americans to recognize that they were Americans, not Britons, and that they were fighting not for British rights, but for human rights. Paine, through words such as, "The sun never shined on a cause of greater worth," and "We have it in our power to begin the world over again," emboldened his fellow citizens to be, to turn their colonial rebellion into a revolutionary war for not only independence, but also the making of a democratic republic. Now, however, it seemed America's cause would collapse on the frozen fields of Tory-dominated New Jersey. But encouraged by General Washington himself, Paine began to write again, and on a drumhead by campfire light, he penned words that would reinvigorate the struggle and resound through the generations. "These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of men and women. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph." So here we are today, just 17 months away from the 250th anniversary of the United States of America. And now we face our own times that try men's and women's souls. Sadly, we do not yet have our own Thomas Paine, but we do have his words to inspire and encourage us. Indeed, let them call us rebels, for we are all the heirs of Paine. And in that spirit, let us raise our glasses and drink both to the greatest revolutionary of a revolutionary age, Thomas Paine, and to those who are neither summer soldiers nor sunshine patriots, the men and women of Florida Veterans for Common Sense.
Wow. Harvey K., our friend, giving the toast at the Florida Veterans for Common Sense, Tom Paine, 288th birthday party. Cam, I can give you 30 seconds. Tell us something good, man.
Hey, I made a new friend by walking around out in the woods, and I was expecting to go and hang out with them after work a couple days ago. Sorry, I'm talking quiet. I have to whisper, otherwise she'll hear me. But the new friend, he was expected to show up for one of the visits, and instead I fell into a trap that this older lady put set up, and she ended up bringing me to her home, and usually I would want to escape, but she's been making me some pretty good food.
Cam, thank you for sharing. Have a great night. Folks, I'm off to Florida. Jess P.S. going to be covering for me. Matt Rothschild, James Santel. Now stick around. It is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Have a great week. Everybody's so down.
News from the center, WRCE. Maggie Dawn.
At 2 o'clock, Tom Paulswitz and I dig into DEI in the age of Trump. We share with you some of the things MLK said that you may never have heard of.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is shallow, y'all.
Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson. When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the White House today, President Trump says he's behind Elon Musk's efforts to downsize the federal government. Musk's Doge team has sent out a second notice for federal employees to list their accomplishments in the past 5 days. The president also announcing his plans to offer U.S. citizenship, he says, for a price.
We're going
to
be selling a gold card. You have a green card. This is a gold card. We're going to be putting a price on that card of about $5 million, and that's going to give you green card privileges plus. It's going to be a route to citizenship.
Ukraine's President Zelensky expected to visit the U.S. on Friday. A Ukrainian official tells ABC News Ukraine and the U.S. have agreed to a framework on a minerals deal. Pope Francis remains in a Rome hospital as he battles double pneumonia. The Vatican says he remains in critical but stable condition and his spirits are high. This is ABC News.